Chapter 14. Flaylin McDrab emerged from the sea, though he'd been submerged as if begin again. Beyond the dock was a brief city park, near where the stocks, where sharks are said to encircle, are traded. Real things ne'er perkled like light-as-fear stocks and bonds, existing only in rote. Hiding the sun, misting tidings, were scrapers of sky there. The sun peeked through a gap and shared its green with sap-coated grass. 'Twas lunchtime, and the workers with papers went to the lime shapers, the trees, to escape some, taking their inbox out, and mumming all their clout into their palms raised to their ears, phone cellular. Flaylin walked through and far with his stick in the grass-lit sun-reflected patch, his mast still sopping, catched so much of sea, he did. Dipping board as he passed that path, unhid and cast in the dirt, almost sand, was a line, an indent. His hand, as if repent the act it did, lifted immediate the stick. But when sifted the nick in the dirt with his eyes, he put the hand and board on skywise again, soared, in fact, across the ground. And as his drawing went, the sight and sounded sent from him and through the wood got only grandiresque, as if stood he at the desk of heavens and it drew. His lines became simpler, and his mence moved dimpler, larger upon the path. As with most endeavors, his swathwork was never noticed by those who walked past by him. Some stepped through with the through of kept busyness to business. Some tried not to blotch the lines. No sum or difference minds Flaylin, for this, like all his, has no real motive but that it's called and sieved through his own happiness, and so cannot be touched for less or touched up. Such is he, and such is it. It could have gone ever, that is here his sketch, for reference, for as drawn got more abstract, from bird draw I drew some gum unrecognizably chewed, more truer became, and the more he got framed in the framing, involved to bigger and bigger heights, so said and drawn the sights of the stick got. To be eventually the size of a court need surmise one could it, for a sport of gigantorific proportions, specific like more, perhaps one with an hourglass-shaped ball whose depth and width passed all of the dumbed bells beneath the dust, or for a court to sheath justice of sorts where juries must be tried by juries of thousands massed, but all tied mouse and holish in one small spot remain, where the rules are jot so arcanuled that lines are drawn for line's sake only. Or if for more, none has spines to chore through them, for them, with them. By, it could have gone on. But then, it didn't. As long as ships the court could have been, though court's hips should have, perhaps would have, did have, held them afloat. Someone from the outside bustling with fun, there a tussling, such a humanica, the monica, pick a one if you please, could not help but specificate a jotting abstract, plate put there for to see. This was a businesswoman, likely, who kissed the rim of her coffee cup. She looked down at some large piles, stackly placed on bench, while she went to buy the stink morning liquor. Just for sitting down, plink, the poured cup, herself on the bench, she emitted a sigh, like whose stench sounded high pitch of coffee smell steam. Like young ones so focused in their own dream plans must sometime awake, though they do to the most strangest dimly, so this bench guest, one of many FM passed along the side path and stems, among the bath of sealand as he was, but only this woman, amidst the buzz and din of others, spoke one sigh. Then he raised his board, jaw toward sky more, but then saw her one anguishing face as she prepared to sit. Then and there chased a kit of buzzers, bells, whistles, signifying the end, thistle detach and bend of lunch hour. And faster than a cleft land's minute can inweave cat or pinnet, they all flock back to tall offices theirs. But like a call still ringing, mic echoing still, that one person sighing, like horse neighing begun, its course from out her mouth produced a wind which stayed blowing, inducer and her ching-ching cohort safe inside. That wind from the one sigh made some leaves fly on by in a cyclical way. Flay looked on at it, but it stayed spinning and cut higher grooves in darkening airs. Some droplets descend, and then a zing, as send up to the very roof of the sky the spinning leaves woof for low tinny sound, and a tornado. It was a tornado. The blowing, whining flow encircled devilishly fast and vroomed like vacuums. School fishly in rooms and classes and glasses of speedy speed, all turned massless and with slow-burn chicory heat and smell. No sun or even clouds in the sky dwelled, just loud sucking. It sucked greatly, The tornado took off, dately blind, bark tree soft. Flailin' McDrab still stood, and the tornado took him and his wood, forsook the drawing drawn upon the ground. He looked, unblinked, as dawns of all time winked inside that funnel cone. There were particles flown, flowings unknown and sown in that whirling tube, passing before his face. A booby pigeon chased an opossum just inches from his eyes, and man-made bolts and winches cascade-like shooting down and up. But no sound. No sound but a pup yelp, and a cut rip too overripe from the mighty firmaments. The feel like some fan vents full power through his clothes, puffing out blouse, pockets, air hoses besmocked it gaily. But his 2 feet always felt firm on floor, even though seat or door or stabilizer pack is absent. Just like ones not racked by the Earth, Sun, Galaxy, Universe, movement, rehearsed from stark naked birth to rotate axis spinningliness, so stately was he dressed by the tornado's swift, slow, constant bemusement-inducing gift. As dentful cars wheeling fast through the twister, he laughed, though no new sound produced. Go and going and wented, all fast zip-zee. It tilts, cone slow bented, with lilts and giddy, like a horn made out of gallium. The corn goes tallying, then it stops. And it seems as if sense does. But the pops of dense matter, all gathered loosely and held, all find themselves unfreed of the thing, back to their own shells just soliding out of air. And all else stared at melts.